Or I guess you better, that's the word. So to start off with, this passage talks about the Israelites now entering the promised land. The Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness or the desert for the last 40 years. A whole generation of Israelites had come and gone, and now a new generation led by Joshua was on the verge, on the cusp of entering into the promised land, Israel. They had heard stories about, wow, this land's going to be so great, filled with milk and honey. And now they were on the verge of now entering into this promised land, the fulfillment of God's grace and God's goodness and God's promise to them. And again, we're going to be looking at these two passages in Joshua and Deuteronomy. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the similarities between these two passages, as well as the differences between these two passages. So how are these two passages very similar, almost the same, you can say? And how are these passages very different, or what's the distinction between these two passages? But first, let's focus on the similarities between these two passages. Similarities between Joshua chapter 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 31. So let me just read the passage in Joshua chapter 1. And in your handout, again, I've provided you the passage in Deuteronomy 31. So you can look at it as I'm reading the passage in Joshua chapter 1. And let me put on my reading glasses because my eyesight is failing me, and I'm at that age where you start needing reading glasses. So in Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the land, from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so as you heard this passage in Joshua read to you, and even as you're reading the parallel or the very similar passage in Deuteronomy 31, I would think that if you're Joshua hearing this message, this is almost the same message that Joshua has heard from Moses. It's because in Deuteronomy 31, Moses is communicating this message to the Israelites, including Joshua. And now, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is hearing this almost exact same message. Almost hearing the exact same message twice, not just once, the first time, from Moses in Deuteronomy 31. But now, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is hearing it again for the second time. And if you were Joshua, what would you think? Hearing this now for the second time, almost exactly the same, word for word, very, at least very similar. Would you think, I've heard this again? Tune out. Check your phone for messages. Do something else. Try to see, what's the latest gamble? Well, we don't gamble, but on the game this afternoon, what's the latest spread count? No, I would think, if you're Joshua, you would think, wow, I've heard this exact same message. Now, for the second time, wow, this is really important. This is very significant. I would like to think that what Joshua would respond to is that, wow, this is important. How's parents? How for our kids? Do we often not repeat ourselves to our kids? Do we not often say things to our kids, not just once, not just twice, maybe even three times, maybe even more? Do we not do that, parents? Does it do your parents? I think so. I mean, I find myself repeating myself over and over again to my kids, saying the exact same thing. Kids, teens, maybe even older adults, you have your parents. Do you not hear the same message from your parents over and over again? I mean, I would think that you would say yes. Even though I have my own kids, my mom, I still hear the same thing from my mom. Even though I'm now an adult, she still tells me the same thing. Make sure you eat your vitamins. Make sure you put on a coat when you go outside. I heard these things when I was a little kid. Now I've got kids of my own. Mom, why are you telling me this thing? The reason why is because it's important, or at least she thinks it's important. Well, it is important. It is significant. And the passage here, that's very important that Joshua gets this. Joshua, hearing this second time, it's not just because God has nothing better to say. He wants Joshua to make sure that he grasps the importance, the significance of what he wants to say to him. It's not just the fill time. It's not just I've got nothing better to do, but I want you, Joshua, to hear my message to you. Let's see. Ooh, that is not good. Sorry about that, folks. I don't know what happened to that slide there. Joshua, hearing this message, I think there's some questions for us to consider. I know you can't read that. I apologize for that. I don't know. Oh, okay, great. Thank you for fixing that. To consider, as you hear stories, as you hear words of advice, maybe for the second time, maybe for the third time, maybe even more, but you've heard these before, and yet they're repeated for you. How do you respond to that? How can hearing stories or ways in which specifically God has been faithful or shown his goodness in the lives of other people encourage you in your walk in your faith with God today? You see, when you hear stories of other people's faith walk with God, how God has blessed them, how God has grown them, how God has challenged them, as God has ministered to them, I would hope that would encourage you. Even though you may have heard these stories numerous times, multitude of times, you could probably tell the story better than the person who lived it out. But the purpose, or one of the purposes, or benefits of that, is that it reminds you also that God is faithful, that God is good, that God is gracious. Because this person wants to communicate and remind you of that because they've seen it firsthand. And they want to encourage you in your life circumstances. When I was, much younger, out of college, I started working as a public accountant. I have an accounting degree from Berkeley. So that's what I did. I started working in Oakland with this accounting firm. And the managing partner had a secretary named Ruth Travis. And she was much older than me. She literally could have been my mom. I was in my early 20s that day. She was, I'm going to say, probably around my age now, in her 50s. And so, yeah, it's like she literally could have been my mom. But she was a great influence on me. She was a godly believer in Christ. Her husband was actually a pastor. She would minister to me. She would care for me, give me advice from a person who is now much older than I was, at least double the age I was at the time. And she would give me wisdom and advice that was years beyond my own understanding. I mean, I wouldn't have, it was such a blessing to have the perspective, have the advice, have the encouragement from someone who was much older, lived life, had all this life experience, and wanted to now share it with me, to encourage me. Even though I was much younger, she could have said, oh, you're just a little kid, you know, what do you know? And but she took it upon herself to invest and encourage me, and I really appreciated that. When I was at a church in Oakland, I got to know some of the elders of that church. Again, they were much older than me. They could have been my own dad, literally. But they took it upon themselves to hang out with me, actually. Invite me to play tennis. Invite me over to their homes to have dinner with their spouse. They treated me like their own child, in a sense. I actually knew their kids because we were all in the young adult fellowship together. And so it was kind of weird, like, hey, I'm here, but I'm here to see your dad, not here to see you. But these older men, they shared their own life experience, particularly their life walk with God with me. And I gained so much wisdom that really was years, I wouldn't, yeah, hang out with my own peers, we would never have figured it out back then. Who are people in your life that could pass on, perhaps, words of wisdom, words of advice about not just life, but about life with God? Who are people in your life that are perhaps older, that can share their own faith and faith experience with God? And not only that, but when will you talk to them? Because I'm sure all of us have people that we could ask. What's it like? What have you experienced in your walk with God? What can you share with me about how God has grown you? How God has challenged you? But the question is, further question is, well, when will we talk to that person? Because I'm sure all of you have people in your life that you could theoretically talk to and go to and say, can you share your life walk or an incident in which God challenged you, God grew you, or you understood God's faithfulness in a deeper way? I'm sure all of us have people like that. But the question is, well, when will I go and ask them? When will I ask them, can you share with me what you've learned about God? The second thing that we want to look at this morning is not only the similarities between these two passages, the Joshua passage and the Deuteronomy passage. Let's see. But we also want to look at the differences between these two passages. Because, yes, on one hand, they are very similar. But on the other hand, there's a very important difference or distinction between the two. Let's go back to Joshua Chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Notice, let me just read verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, Moses' aide. Back in the passage in Deuteronomy, which again is printed in your bulletin, it was God speaking, not to Joshua directly, but to Moses directly. And Moses then, in turn, shares this message to the Israelites, which includes Joshua. That's the story or the situation of the circumstances in Deuteronomy 31. But now in Joshua chapter 1, it is God speaking to Joshua. Moses is dead. Moses is in the ground, buried. God is now speaking to Joshua. The passage in Deuteronomy, you can refer to it as an indirect form of communication. Indirect in the sense that God speaks to Moses. Moses then relays God's message to Joshua and the Israelites. That's what we often refer to as indirect form of communication. Many of us are, I'm sure all of us, are very familiar with indirect ways of communicating. Particularly because for most of us here, we're Asian, we're Chinese, and Asian, Chinese people are notorious. Hopefully I'm not ridiculing or making fun of our culture. Yeah, there's a lot of good things about our Asian culture, but Asian and Chinese are very notorious or very well known for using indirect ways of communication, are we not? Well, let me give you an example. Suppose I have a disagreement or a misunderstanding, or maybe I'm not sure about how person X feels about me, about my circumstances. So rather than go to person X and ask them, so you know what, I know that we had some difficulty, but can we talk about this? How are you feeling about it? Or, you know, why do you think, what can we do to resolve the situation? Instead of going directly to person X, I will go to person Y, because person Y also knows person X. I'll say, person Y, can you talk to person X and kind of find out why they're feeling this way or what's going on? And so then person Y goes up to person X, talks to them, then person Y comes back to me and shares. I'm sure all of us are very familiar with this form of communication, this indirect form of communication. That's the situation in Deuteronomy. But now, of course, in Joshua, it's God speaking specifically, directly to, to Joshua. And God speaking directly to Joshua, no longer using Moses as the middleman to relay God's message to Joshua and the Israelites. But now God speaking directly to Joshua himself, saying, Joshua, I want you to know that I am faithful. Do not fear. I will give you the land. I will fulfill my promises to you and to the Israelites. I don't want to speak to Moses and have him communicate my message to you. I want to speak to you so that you hear it directly from me. This form of direct communication, I'm not saying that direct communication is better than indirect. There's some times where indirect communication needs to happen. It's actually better to use indirect form of communication. But there are times where we have to hear from God directly. We have to hear from God firsthand, no longer through another party, another source. I got a taste of direct communication here in this picture here. You're wondering, so what is this picture? Well, this is a picture of our church, or the church I was previously at, called Chinese for Christ Church. And some of you are familiar with it because it's just up the block, up Saratoga Avenue. And then hook a left on Williams, and there you go, it's Chinese for Christ Church. So let's see, let me think about when this was. 2003, we were in the process of rebuilding the church sanctuary. They completely tore down the old fellowship hall, and they rebuilt a new sanctuary. And now, well, you could drive by it and see for yourself. Okay, so that process took about Oh man, 2003, almost a year for that complete rebuild to take place. So in the meantime, I believe we met at De Anza College. We used one of their, I don't remember if it was a gymnasium or any of their, one of their rooms to hold our Sunday worship. While this was taking place, this complete rebuild, the church is off limits. We couldn't go there because of all the construction taking place. That also meant that my office, I had no access into my office. You may think, well, you can work from home. Yeah, I did work from home. But in my office at the time was all my books. This is back in the day where not everything was on digital format, okay? This is where we actually had books of paper, you know, binding, yeah. So all my books, or most of my books, most of my library was in that church office. All my commentaries, all my Bible dictionaries, all my Bible encyclopedias, all my Christian books were in that office. And I didn't have any way of getting to them. I had no access to these great books, these reference books, Bible commentaries, Bible dictionaries. What I had in my home to prepare my messages was this. This is my primary method of preparing my Sunday messages for that almost 1 year. Because I didn't have access to these, you can say, indirect sources of God's word, telling me what, or suggesting what God is saying. I only had God's word, the Bible, speaking directly to me. And that's when I began to understand, wow, God is directly speaking to me through his word. Yeah, these Bible dictionaries, yes, these Bible commentaries, yes, these Bible encyclopedias, all these Christian reference books, they're good. They're good ways of learning about God, but they're more indirect methods of hearing from God. And I realized that, wow, what I really need is to hear from God directly. Yeah, it's great to have all these dictionaries. Yeah, it's great to have all these commentaries. Yes, it's great to have all the encyclopedias. Yeah, it's great to have a pastor. Yes, it's great to have a Christian parent, a mom or dad, a Christian brother or sister. They're all good. But really, it's that God wants to speak to you as a believer in Christ directly. He wants to have a direct relationship with you, and he can do that through his word. And we will meet him in there. Perhaps for some of us here this morning, God is wanting to speak to you directly. Not to say he doesn't want to speak to you or he cannot speak to you through indirect means like a mom or a dad, a brother or sister in Christ, a pastor, a Christian friend. But I believe that God wants to speak to you directly, primarily you. Maybe many of you know that because for the last few weeks and months, you've sensed God tugging at your heart, wanting to get your attention, saying, hey, will you listen to me? Will you come to me? Will you seek me? And you've said, nah, you know, God, I've got other things to do. God, you know, I still go to church. You know, I still listen to the sermon. Yeah, I still have Christian friends and even Christian family, but God, I don't want to hear what you have to say. But yet you know that God very clearly wants to speak to you, wants to directly challenge you, communicate with you. When we begin to have direct communication with God, not to downplay, you know, Christian brothers and sisters, Christian parents, a pastor, all these things are all good. But when we begin to allow God to speak to us directly, in essence, we begin to really kind of take ownership of our faith. It no longer becomes the faith of my parent, my mom, my Christian dad, my Christian friend, an aunt, an uncle. But it becomes kind of my faith. It does become my faith. And not to say that it's all on us, but I begin to take ownership of my walk with God and I begin to grow, not because I have to, not because mom and dad want me to, but because I desire to. And as I do that, God is glorified. Maybe for some of us, we are in that situation of God wanting you to take, in a sense, ownership of your faith. Not because you have to, but because you desire to. Some questions for you to consider on the bottom, the bold. How or in what way has God been calling you and challenging you directly and wanting you to grow in your or in my relationship with Him by taking ownership or responsibility for my walk with Him? He wants to speak directly to you. Not that He can't speak to you through your parents. Not that He doesn't speak to you. I believe He does. But He wants to speak to you directly, primarily, through His Word, through your times of prayer and seeking Him. Well, let's go on to our last point this morning. I think we're running out of time. I have gone over. The pastor talks a number of times about being strong and courageous. So at least three references in the passage in Joshua chapter 1 of being strong and courageous. But what does that mean to be strong and courageous? Because if you just think about that term alone, being strong and courageous, question would be, well, how? How should I be strong and courageous? Do I go to the gym and start working out and start building muscles? Or I start eating right and making sure I get my four food groups? Is this something about being mentally strong and just psyching myself up? Like maybe the football game, you know, the players, they psych themselves up. They get themselves ready mentally. Is this just emotionally being strong, you know, making sure that whatever comes my way, I'm strong enough to handle it? What does God mean by being strong and courageous? And I would say very specifically that going back to verse 7 and 8, that God tells Joshua and us what He means about being strong and courageous. Let me just read verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, meaning the law or the Bible, to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law, the Bible, God's word, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I believe it's very clear of how to be strong and courageous, that it is by knowing, it is by ingesting, it is by allowing God's word to transform us. It is important to know that being strong and courageous isn't something that we just do. I go to the gym, I work out for, you know, 2 or 3 hours every other day. Well, you should take a break. Because you shouldn't go every day because you're going to wear down your muscles. At least that's what I believe. It's not about taking vitamins, the right type of diet, low-protein diet. But it's about knowing God's word, reading God's word, investing and allowing God's word to speak to you, to transform you. That is how I believe God is telling Joshua and us how to be strong and courageous. To spend time in God's word. Rather than just seeing it, oh, just something that I just carry along just because I know that it's a Christian thing to do. Or just because my mom and dad tell me to read my Bible, I guess I better read my Bible. But I look at this as, wow, this is a way for me to grow my faith, to become strong and courageous. And the question is, are we making an effort to really soak ourselves in God's word? Some questions for you to consider are, what changes am I needing and willing to make in my life and lifestyle to not stray but soak in and live out God's word. Maybe for some of us, there's some changes that we need to make in how we live life, in our life schedule, realizing that, man, I go wake up in the morning, I'm so busy, life busyness just starts as soon as I wake up, and I just don't have time for God's word. You know, I understand. Hey, I live in the valley too. I know the craziness of living here in Silicon Valley. But if I really believe that God's word is important, I need God's word in order to grow my faith, then I need to make time. I need to center my life really around God's word. Oh, running out of time? All right, I'll end it soon. Am I willing to share with other people in the body of Christ my desire for these changes? That if I realize that I need to make some changes, and these are the changes that I need to make, that I would ask another person for accountability, for prayer, for encouragement in this. This isn't just something that I do on my own. Maybe as needed as that is to be done, but this is something that I involve other people, specifically in the body of Christ. Can you pray for me in this endeavor? Will you encourage me in this endeavor? Maybe ask me 2 weeks from now, maybe 2 months from now, hey, how's it going? Are you able to continue to grow, to challenge you? And then I'll do the same for you. Would you be willing to do this? How is God speaking to you this morning, congregation of Home of Christ 4? I recognize that your church has gone through some very traumatic, very difficult times. I recognize that it has not been easy, but I do believe that God wants to grow your church, not just in terms of number, but in terms of your depth, love for him, so that he would ultimately be glorified. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray, God, that this is really your church. God, these are your people. God, you love them. You love the church. And God, I pray that you would pour out your, you have poured out your grace and your goodness through your son, through your word. But God, I pray that our response to you, wanting to allow you to grow us through your word, God, that we would be strong and courageous, not on our own, not on our own strength, not on our own wisdom, but based upon your word. God, that we would desire to seek you, not because we want to gain some benefit or get some glory, but so that ultimately you're glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord giving us another great message. Growing is a process. Just like I'm growing older through the youth age, the process takes time from little steps to a big step. Joshua learned from Moses